Well, there's a TV commercial that I especially hold on to and love back from the 1990s. It opens with these grandiose views of the American West, mountains, pastures, rivers. And then it shows a good handful of good old hard-working folk, farmers, construction workers, and the like. And all the while, you hear this deep baritone voice riffing on the values of dependability and trustworthiness, all while an acoustic guitar is strumming along in the background. And then finally, there's the star of the show, the Chevy Silverado pickup truck. And just as it makes that appearance, cresting over the mountainous terrain, you hear the unmistakable voice of none other than Detroit's own Bob Seger. And what is he saying? Who remembers? Like a rock! Oh, like a rock! Brings me back. It sure is an interesting choice, though, isn't it, to associate a motor vehicle with a rock. I mean, yeah, it gets a sense of strength and durability across, but doesn't it also kind of suggest that it might be immobile and lifeless? Cold and inexpressive? Found on road dead? Today's scripture is no different, right? It's kind of strange to use this imagery in 1 Peter to describe the church. Maybe we need Like a Rock playing over our sound system as we gather for worship. Of all the potential illustrations, that can seem like an awfully odd choice. But what can help us to understand that rock image properly is to consider where it comes from. You see, 1 Peter is far from the first to use it. This is imagery deeply embedded in the ancient Israelite tradition. And it's all over the Hebrew Bible. In fact, much of this passage in 1 Peter is quoting the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, in several spots. See, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious. That's from Isaiah 28. It's in reference of Jerusalem and the temple in a period of exile, seeking the Messiah to bring about restoration. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. That's from Psalm 118, a song of victorious celebration honoring God's protection and preservation. A stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. That's another Isaiah passage, chapter 8. A prophetic warning against those who continue to refuse to turn to God. And so all this rocky language, it's rooted in the experience and the tradition of the ancient Israelites. But here today we witness 1 Peter taking that and pointing it to Jesus Christ as the ultimate fulfillment of those words. For Christ is the cornerstone of those who welcome him and a stumbling block for those who reject him. 1 Peter takes the image even a step further using this language of the living stone, right? Declaring that Jesus is the living stone on which God intends to build up God's people. And then that's where it gets really wild. Because then 1 Peter turns from speaking about God and proclaims that the church, as in y'all, are living stones as well. As followers and imitators of Christ, the church is invited to let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, one that offers spiritual sacrifice to God. And in doing so, the church is invited to grow into an incredible identity. An identity which is once again pulled from the Hebrew tradition, from when God freed the Israelites from slavery in Exodus. The identity is to be a chosen and royal priesthood, a holy people that has been marked as God's own. And within that identity lies a remarkable calling, to proclaim the mighty acts of the one who has called us out of darkness and into marvelous light. Just as God did in Egypt, so God continues to do now through the saving power of Jesus. In this vision, we see that we are no mere lifeless and isolated rocks. We are living stones, built upon Christ the cornerstone, and built alongside one another in a beautifully interdependent structure where each of us gets to share in two incredible gifts. The first gift is our belonging, For in Christ, we the church find our belonging. Once, we were not a people, lost and wandering, isolated and lacking a community to call home. But now in Christ, we are God's people. We are united into a family in which all are welcome and all belong, in which all should have value and dignity. May we never take that for granted. And then the second gift grows out of that first, because out of our belonging flows our calling from Christ. To commit ourselves to spiritual sacrifice and to bear witness to the goodness, mercy, and love of our Redeemer. You see, in spiritual sacrifice, that's the church committing itself in worship to follow the way of Jesus. A social ethic defined by imitating how Jesus lived his life. Rooted in love, bound by truth, saturated with prayer, and dedicated to service. As the house of living stones built upon Christ the cornerstone, this is our calling in a nutshell. So maybe being like a rock ain't so bad after all. Because to be like a rock in the context of Jesus, our rock, is to share in a joyous belonging and to receive the highest of callings. And as great as that sounds, I got to admit, it reminds me of an experience I had in the spring of 2020 that didn't quite mirror this at first. I was in the midst of sort of an identity crisis of my own as the pandemic hit. I had just had a really difficult season of self-doubt and questioning and some anxiety, and I had just decided to step down from my position as a youth director at our previous church. And I feared in that moment that my entire schooling and my career might have just been entirely misguided. And as in-person gatherings were put on hold and the world grew quiet and inward, I had to face hard questions with no easy answers. But it was early on in the pandemic that Ray and I visited a Lake Michigan beach that was covered in pebbles and stones. And it was there that I came upon a stone that I've kept to this day. It's small, it's dark gray, it's oval-shaped, but most importantly, it is one of the smoothest rocks you'll have ever felt. And so I picked it up and I took it home and I started keeping it at my desk. And as the pandemic wore on and on and on, I spent a whole lot of time at that desk, journaling, reflecting, praying, but also taking my entire final year of classes in seminary over Zoom. And even my final exams come spring 2021, when I was starting to get to know you guys, I was on a Zoom call with dozens of elders and pastors watching, including Art Van Eck, who snuck on the Zoom to make sure I was up to snuff. That year was not easy for anyone, right? I'm sure many of us felt isolation and unsure about the future. I certainly did. And yet in times of that doubt or that angst, I would take hold of that stone and feeling its cool smoothness in my palm and in my fingers, I heard the still small voice of the Holy Spirit reminding me again and again that God is my rock and foundation, and that through my Redeemer Christ, I have everything I need. In Christ, our living cornerstone, we find our place of belonging and calling, and it is indeed everything we need. But even as we embrace that identity, we can't allow ourselves to grow cold and immovable. God has chosen us not for our own comfort, but for an essential purpose to embrace. You see, not everyone in the world gets to experience that same sense of belonging or call. Many people, even here today, are overcome by the rejection and the belittling that they have had to endure their whole life long. And it's dreadfully easy for me, a white, hetero, middle-class man in a position of power, to get to stand before you today and say, gee, ain't it great? God has chosen us. Well, no wonder our society and culture has historically favored and exalted people like this for as long as we've been around. But so many people do not share in that experience. I'm especially mindful of the countless LGBTQ folks in our community and beyond who have gone looking for a community in which they seek belonging and support and acceptance. And instead they are met with ignorance and silence or criticism and bullying and even physical violence against them. In many cases, by Christians. Christians who have failed to uphold their calling, who have misinterpreted and misused Scripture to determine that somehow these people are less than human and deserve wrath just for being who they are. And that stigma and rejection and traumatic abuse creates dangerously high rates of mental health illnesses and suicide among our siblings on this earth. And so heroic organizations like the Trevor Project, and even some heroic individuals like our indigenous neighbor Jamie John working in the community, they work tirelessly to reverse these devastating realities, to affirm that every person is a part of God's beautiful creation. Therefore, they are worthy of love, respect, and dignity, no matter who they love or how they identify. But there is still so much work to be done and much damage to repair, perhaps in the church more than anywhere. Without an advocate or a welcoming space, how will these children of God find their belonging? And that is where our calling comes in as the church. For if we are rooted in the radical love of God in Christ, if we are grounded in our sense of belonging, then our call is to share belonging with others. Especially those who get labeled other in society. The church should not be a homogenous group of all alike and similar people. The church should be a place of belonging and calling for a wide net of beautiful and broken people, different yet united upon our cornerstone. And so our call is to share of the marvelous light we've glimpsed, and also to welcome and affirm the marvelous light brought by those who differ from us. Because indeed, God uses all sorts of people, often the ones you least expect. And I believe God has a special word of love and acceptance to share with us from our LGBTQ siblings. For God has shown us in the Scriptures again and again that there is a special concern for those who have gotten pushed to the margins. And lest we forget that once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you did not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. So stay grounded in your belonging and your calling by sharing it like a rock.